All right, we are here. Welcome. Welcome to you. This is a day, a good day to take back your power. Now, you may think, where is this power I'm taking back? Or you may think, well, I don't know that I need to take back power. Maybe I've lost it somewhere. Maybe I have to go seek it. Well, dear ones, you have a history in this physical lifetime of losing power, regaining power, losing power, regaining power. Every time you mature, you gain power. And what is power? Power is the ability to make decisions and choices based on your own will and to be able to follow through on that with action. Now, you can make choices, but if you can't follow through on them, you don't have power. You only have the power to think and make some ideas and make some choices. But the capacity, the ability, the opportunity to act on them, that's power. As you can see, there are many circumstances in your culture where people technically are not granted but limited power. There are laws that keep you from doing things that the government and that Congress, perhaps lobbied by certain corporations, have decided you cannot or can do. And limits are set for you. Some of these are quite fair and just, aligned with the old pagan system of do no harm. The pagan system, which was the basis of common law hundreds of years ago, that you can do pretty much what you want, but as soon as it affects other people, you must respect their boundaries. Now, some of that is fair. Some of that is good, useful. And some of it is petty and actually very limiting. Such as that in their various, just a recent example, has been brought to light how much persecution people who drink raw milk are under. People who provide raw milk. Raw milk is the way milk has been drunk for thousands of years. That's the milk a baby gets from the mother at the breast. But oh no, you can't drink raw milk. Well, take that right away from you. You don't have the freedom of choice in many states of the country to drink raw milk. Drink milk from the cow. As absurd as that sounds, it's a governmental policy. You don't have the power. You can choose to drink raw milk, but you don't have the power. You don't have the ability in some states to actually find it and drink it without being illegal. Some friends of the channel who live in Florida say, well, most people get around it here because it is legal for pets. You can feed your cat raw milk, but you can't drink it. So there's a lot of raw milk being designated, set aside, and sold for pets. Those are really healthy pets in Florida. All those cats and dogs getting raw milk. Organic, grass-fed cows, raw milk. All right. But the whole point of power is more what you might say, subtle than that. It has more to do with how you approach yourself, your life, those others with which you interact. You see, you were born into powerlessness. Yes, you may have had the power to wail and cry so that your mother would pick you up, change your diapers, give you something, some milk, perhaps out of a bottle, not even raw. But so you had that power. And you did notice that when you did that, most often there was a response. That's not really power. That's actually a kind of control. Nevertheless, that's the only kind of power. It's a control type of power that you knew as a baby. Because you soon found that you couldn't walk, you couldn't do things. It took you a while to do it. Meanwhile, your parents were there, or guardians, to take care of you while you were so helpless, while you were so powerless. You made choices for yourself starting in your rebellion in the terrible twos. No! No, you'd say. No! It was not particularly effective, but it felt good anyway. For you to be able to assert your independence, no. Sometimes you said no, even when you really meant yes. And you were extremely disappointed if your mother actually acknowledged and said, oh, okay. No, you don't have to go with me on this errand. Oh, but I want to. I just wanted to be respected. For me, I'm independent. I'm an individual. Of course, it can get worse in adolescence, childhood and adolescence, the rebelliousness. And many of you still hold within you an appreciation, a care about you, and an identification with the rebel, the one that sets boundaries and says, no, this is what I want. I'm not going to go with everybody else. I'm different. I'm going to follow my own dream to the beat of my own drum. But the rebel is not particularly powerful. Because the rebel's attention is not directed to what the rebel wants. It's directed against what someone else expects, demands, or wants from the rebel. So many times the rebel personality has been seen both positively and negatively, as the break for freedom, as the independence, as empowering. And it is when you are a teenager. But if you are not a teenager right now, if you are above the age of 25, your rebellion period is over. You should be an adult now. It's your opportunity to make choices for yourself. You are not reacting against anything. You're not living your life, or you don't have to live your life, against anything. Or in resistance to anything. If you are in resistance to anyone or anything, you lose power to that thing. Because your attention and your energy is not about you, but about them. You learn this when you're a child. Who tells you what you can and cannot do? Your parents or guardians. Many of you use your parents as a point of reference. As a child, can I do something? Would my mother and father or guardians approve or disapprove? Would I get punished or not? So you would make your choices in alignment with what you expected or what you assumed others would do, say, how they would react, etc. You knew you did not have the power to simply do whatever you felt like, whenever you felt like it, with whoever you felt like doing it. Not yet, anyway. And when you rebelled, you said, now I'm going to do what I want to do. But did you? Many of you didn't know how to take your power. You got stuck in the rebel. You got stuck in rebel mode. You kept looking around you, making other people, transferring from your parents to others that point of reference. How will they react? What will they do to me? How will they respond? Can I do this without somebody complaining to the police, without somebody rejecting me, without somebody ridiculing or shaming me, laughing at me, punishing me, hurting me, taking something away from me? And you look for your boundaries. And within those boundaries of what are acceptable to other people, you found a space of personal power, the area where no one else infringed on you. That was the place that was your power. That was the place where you could focus on what you chose. For many people, this ended up being internal, because their external lives seemed to be dominated, controlled, and stuck in some kind of routine that came, seemingly, from outside themselves. When you take on a job and you have an employer, very often that employer gives you that demarcation of what choices and decisions you can make in the job. But if it goes over that line, you must get permission from your supervisor or someone else higher up than you, perhaps your boss, perhaps the owner of the company, perhaps the board of directors must make that decision. You don't have that power. You have your demarcated circle of power within which you can act. There are the laws of the land. There are religious, traditional rules of what you can do, how you can do it, the way you're supposed to think, feel, act. Your behavior rules. From your culture, the social mores. We're not saying that these rules are all bad, but they come from outside you. They come from your culture. And in living with your culture, as part of your culture, you accept these rules. But there comes a point in your life on your spiritual journey where it is imperative for you to take back your power. Take back that gift of that point of reference that you have given to others. To take that back to you. To live according to your own rules, knowing that you do respect and honor other people's boundaries. That you know the quote-unquote rules of behavior, of protocol, of law enough that within that parameter, you don't have to keep worrying about bumping the walls, breaking through, stepping over the line, that you can feel free enough within those boundaries that you can now take that point of reference that you give others and bring it back to yourself. Once you know, you no longer have to keep giving your power away. Your power is given away in the form of attention to others, to what they feel, what they think, trying to read from them what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to react. And when you take your power back, you no longer take so personally whatever they do. In fact, you can release that tendency entrained within you to take everything personally. Every limitation that someone else sends to you, expects of you, demands of you. You don't have to take it personally anymore. You don't have to react to it. You don't have to resist it. You don't have to rebel against it. It's just there. You can laugh. You're free. You know what your choices can be. You're not worried so much about what people think of you, because you know how to love. You know how to care, and you know how to respect their boundaries. There are certain people you cannot tell certain things to. This does not limit your power, because you can make the conscious choice, I'm not going to share this information with that person because I know it will disturb them. This does not mean that you're being untruthful. It means you're being respectful of their boundaries. It does not limit you. You don't have to go out and blab everything to everybody. If you think you're keeping a secret, you're a rebel. If there's something that you keep privately to yourself just because you don't think it concerns someone else, you're in your power. It's an attitude shift that comes when you mature. And every time you make a step of maturity, every time you come further along in honoring and respecting your own boundaries, understanding and knowing yourself, your intentions, your motivations, who you are, you expand your power. Whenever you're interacting with your society, if you're driving a car on the road, you have to respect traffic rules, traffic laws. Otherwise, there's a pretty good opportunity to have an accident, to freak someone else out on the road who may drive erratically, to create chaos for others. And in your caring, you don't want to do that. So you make a conscious, empowered choice that you're going, I am going to drive according to traffic rules. I respect them. I feel they're, for the most part, reasonable. And if you break a traffic rule, such as a speed limit, probably one of the more common things that are broken, you don't do it with the intention of being a rebel. You just don't see any reason with the road empty in front of you, and the rare instance that that happens. Well, maybe it's 3 a.m., right? But with a road empty in front of you, why you need to crawl to go so slow. But you also are aware that you are responsible for whatever happens. You are responsible for what you do with your vehicle. You are an adult. You take that responsibility. In health and healing, you may be involved with something like an alternative health protocols, medical things, systems, and so on. You take the responsibility for your body. You take the empowerment with that responsibility to make choices for you. Oh yes, you know that there may be some choices that you take that the medical institutions, that doctors, even your own doctor, would frown at and say, no, no, no. And you know that you've been given wrong information from doctors. They're doing the best they can, but they're supposed to be authorities. They think so. They're going to speak that way. And if you give them your power, then you have a lot more difficulty healing. How do you give your power away to a doctor? When you see a doctor, you go into victim mode. Oh, poor me. This is all my problems. Here's all my issues. And what do you suggest, doctor? Tell me. Now, you may resist what the doctor says and rebel. That doesn't necessarily give you better healing. You must stay in your power. You must take your power back from doctors, lawyers, politicians. Even take your power back from celebrities who you have identified with, would like to be. Oh yeah, I'd like to have the problems that celebrity has. Okay, take your power back. You are a divine being. You came into this lifetime to take your power, to own who you are, to know more of your divine nature, to express it in your life, to experience the bliss of being, to give and to receive freely, unconditionally. And you can't do that unless you're in your power. You can't do any of that. You have to take your power back. So ask yourself, who do you give power to? Family members? We know people who are totally governed by the whims of their grandchildren. Or children, and live around them. We know people who are totally giving their power away to their work, to the job, so that their own time with their friends and family gets cut short by the demands and the needs, the ever increasing, ever demanding needs of work. There are those of you who give your power away to the whole system, to the whole culture, seeing yourself pretty much as a fringy person, someone who's outside, someone who doesn't belong. Someone who's been rejected by the mainstream. Does this sound familiar? Did you ever experience anything in your adolescence or early 20s like this? Of course. It's a rebel. Separating, detaching, resisting. Part of the resisting is judging, separating through judgment. To make yourself safe. Because you don't have enough power to trust yourself in your choices. when you have power, you have juice. You have oomph. You have capacity. You can create and manifest great realities. You can work with your reality as a friend. You can allow yourself to receive from others rather than be afraid of the demands and the pressures and the expectations that would come from them should you receive anything from them. Many people hate to receive because it makes them beholden. That's giving your power away to the giver. So much so has this happened, and so many instances of this have been brought to you, that it's difficult for you to receive. You're afraid to receive. What comes after the receiving? I lose power. I become weak. If I receive, I can be seen as weak. I can be controlled. No, I will not receive. I must be the giver, because the giver is strong. The giver is the powerful one. Both are powerful. You have to be powerful to receive as well as give. Many people who give have twisted and distorted intentions associated with that too, have agendas to give because they want to make people beholden. What if you could receive without resistance, without fear? Say thank you, receive, and allow it to be, to do it freely without having to feel obligated now. Oh, I've got to give something back now. Any obligation that you feel that is not made by your conscious and enlightened choice saps your power. And you know it. I have this commitment. I have this obligation. I can't get out of it. I must do something about it. If you say, speak like that, you're not in your power. The obligation has become more important than you. You're also trained as a spiritual person, as you get onto your spiritual path, that you must be unselfish. You cannot just think of yourself. You must be of service. For most people, service is servitude. It's hard for people to distinguish the two. When you're in your power and you're feeling your glory and the love of light of yourself and the divinity within you. You want to give. You want to. You want to love others. You want to help others experience that sense of freedom and exhilaration that you do. And you care and you have compassion for them, for their suffering, where you are enjoying. And that you wish to give. And that is true service. That is service. It holds no agenda of control. It holds no agenda of gaining you points in heaven. Or clear pieces of karma for you. It doesn't do anything for you. And that keeping score kind of regard. That's a powerless place. Instead, it's an expression of the divine of you and all it serves to do when you give of that level of you is to expand your light, your radiance, your truth, your capacity, and expand your power. You have given your power away to your family. That's by necessity. You couldn't be all powerful as a 4-year-old. You have to manipulate. You have to cry. You have to wheedle. You have to do temper tantrums. You have to do that kind of stuff You don't have any other techniques whereby to get and experience what you want. But unfortunately, many of you carry in you the remnants, the remainders of that powerlessness, giving that power to your family. Instead of giving it to your parents, once they die, you give them to your children and then to your grandchildren. Or maybe to your mate. You can even give your power away to the landlord. You can give your power away to the banks. You can give your power away to the plumber who comes to fix something. You can give your power away to a clerk in a store. You can feel guilty about almost anything. And dear ones, you have. You've been there, you've done that. Anytime you feel guilt or fear, you're short on your power. You don't feel you have the ability to act according to you, to your will, to your choice, to your intentions. So we would recommend that in your daily life, to note all the places where by habit, and that's where it still exists, you give your power away. You will not be selfish if you take your power back. In fact, if you know someone who is really powerful and has indeed taken their power back and operates from their free will, empowered place, acting on their own choices, acting on their own volitions, you will feel tremendous inspiration. You will experience a tremendous draw towards that person. You want to be with that person. You want to feel that energy. There's a dignity, a presence about that person. You want it. Maybe you'll be a little jealous. But what the jealousy might be saying to you is, I want that too. I want to be there. Look at what a powerful person can truly do. When they speak, people listen. There is a gravity of wisdom and truth that comes from a powerful person. They will not lie or bullshit you. They'll be right there. They'll be aware. They'll care. They'll understand your boundaries. You will feel clean with them. You won't feel there's any games going on. You appreciate powerful people. Now, when we talk about powerful people, of course, we are not talking about CEOs of major corporations. We're not talking about powerful politicians, media people. Yeah, they have a lot of personal power. Part of that is what got them there. For example, Oprah. She has a tremendous presence, a tremendous focus. She stayed in her power regardless of what her employees or employers threw at her. She faced quite a bit of restriction, discrimination, etc. Judgment, criticism. She held her own. Without a guide, without a mentor to help her do that, she chose to walk a path of power. And then she actually became a powerful figure in your culture. Your destiny is not to become a powerful figure in your culture necessarily. Some people, few people, yes. but mostly what you are wanting with your power and why you want to take your power back from everything, everywhere, all the time, is because, number one, it enables you to find what your destiny is and live it. It enables you to understand who you are and be that person. If you have an orientation towards Eastern mysticism, it ends a cycle of births and deaths. It takes you to your last lifetime, to where you can ascend and to the eternal, to achieve oneness, God consciousness. It's your natural path, actually, is to do that. You're on that journey. And taking your power back enables you to accelerate, to fly on that journey, to feel greater bliss, to feel greater physical vitality and energy, greater flexibility and fluidity of your body. It has tremendous positive benefits in your physical reality. Last week we spoke with a woman who had given her power away to her mother. And while she had separated from her mother and said, "No, I will not talk to you. I will not communicate with you because you have humiliated and shamed me too much. You have manipulated and controlled and dominated me too much. It's been too painful. I've never been able to please you. I've never been able to be me. So I'm not going to talk to you anymore." She did the ultimate act of rebellion. And immediately her body went into pain, stiffness, and she could barely walk. Last week we took her through, and everyone else, of course, who was present, through a meditative process to let go of her rage and anger, to take her power back from her mother so that she could forgive her mother and not take what her mother does personally anymore. And within 2 days, all the pain is gone. She walks totally fine. In fact, better than before. Actually, the next day, she wakes up. It's all better. When you are powerful, you can let go of stuff you've been holding on for years to, that you feel obligated to hold on to. You can let it go. You can let go of old, distraught, disturbed, twisted relationships and emotions. Your emotional body becomes freer. You're happier. You can experience the bliss of being, which is your natural state, gifted to you by the divine, by your creator. You can begin to know yourself so much more because you no longer have the conflict of other people's opinions, needs, demands in your mind, interfering with your own self, interfering with your own needs, your desires, your wishes, your intentions. You can make clear decisions, clean choices. You can trust yourself. You can begin to trust your universe, your reality, and recognizing it as a friend, and not that you are living in a dangerous world filled with enemies. People who will attack you at provocation, at opportunity. People who will steal from you, hurt you, mess you up. When you're in your power, generally, what will happen is that you will not be in the right, in the same space-time as those thieves, muggers, criminals, mean people. It just, that's a different reality. Not yours. Now we say generally because there are exceptions. But you have to understand, you're always growing. Always, always, always. You don't ever get, quote unquote, there in the physical life. You can get to a place of ecstasy. You can get a place of bliss. You can get to a place where everything is fluid and going really well in your life. And then something will happen and boom, you have to go up to the next level. You have to notch it up. You don't do this by pushing or driving yourself. You do this by taking more power. Owning yourself more. Owning that you are a powerful reality creator and this is your reality and it's your choice. Everything is your choice as an adult. And the more you can do that, the easier you move through your challenges when they do happen. The greater understanding and enlightenment you receive from them. And the less you need them to awaken you, to push you, to grow you. So your growth path gets easier and easier and easier and more fun. Until you're just having fun. But you're still not there. Because even your experiences of oneness, of the divine union, cannot be complete in the limitations of the physical body. You'll have to move on to higher dimensions, higher octaves. The few who have come to this planet who have absolutely no limitations of the physical plane. We call them the masters of illusion. The great magicians. The Christ. The great prophets. The enlightened ones. Fully awakened. Knowing their power. They know their power. And as always, they combine it with freedom, love, and trust. Safety, trust. The one who channels us has an opportunity to go see an awakened master. And after he had given darshan and spoken to people and had left the scene, she lined up with a few others for the opportunity to go and sit in the chair where he sat. And when she sat there in his chair and tuned into the energies that he had left there, she felt freedom, love, power, and incredible safety. Incredible safety that she had not experienced. She had no knowledge of before. And she felt her whole body relax. Just let go of every tension. And she just kind of melted into that chair, feeling this incredible hug from the chair, a sense of being held in that chair, in this safety, in this peace, but empowered at the same time, free at the same time, light, incredibly light. So much love imbued in this chair, that love and that safety together. Ah. And she remembered that. It would be good for you to remember that too. Power does bring all of those others as those others bring power. So we're now going to turn to questions. If anyone has a question they would like to ask. and in a little while we will take you on a power retrieval. So between now and then, think about who have you given your power to? What have you given your power away to? Where is your attention? To whom do you give your points of reference, if it's not you, that you're concerned more about what they think and feel than yourself? Just think about it, and we will do something about it later with you. All right, so who is first?
Hello, Galactus.
Hello.
This is Carolyn.
Yes.
So glad to make it here today. And I feel like I'm definitely in the process of taking my power back, sort of just feels like it's definitely, I'm in the process. And I'm wondering if there's a connection, because you gave me some very amazing wisdom and assistance with the pain that I've been feeling in my body for the last several months. It's definitely, I feel like I'm working with that, and it's definitely helping. And I'm wondering, I kind of got the message that part of it is from when I was maybe a teenager or younger or who knows where, I was given the message that I kind of tensed my body up because I, like a lot of us, were in that position of feeling, having to feel more submissive and rebelling on and off, but in that I would tense my body up. And the other physical symptom I've had for years, which is emerging again, is pretty severe allergies and asthmatic stuff. And so I just wondered if it feels like there's a connection with power with these things.
Yes.
And whatever you could...
Right. Yes, indeed there is. You took on tension onto your body in your teenage years. That's generally where people start to do it. It's also where allergies begin for most people. Most people who have allergies and especially to environmental factors, to pollen, to foods and things. Generally, it's kind of goes back to that time of adolescence when your hormones finally start asserting themselves to make you an adult chemically in your body. And all the resistances, all the difficulties about that process, and of course you're aware that adolescence is not an easy process. Generally, adolescence is, for most people, the most difficult time of their life, actually. At least it is in the first, 60, 70 years of their life. Adolescence can kind of take the cake because of the intensity of the emotions. When you have the hormones surging, it brings with them emotional intensity. And when you hit a wall, one of those boundaries given you by others, by society, you hit it hard. The punishment can be humiliation, rejection, isolation, separation, loneliness, and failure. It's heavy duty. There is tremendous amount of shame that comes with it. You don't generally tend to get through adolescence without feeling wounded, without being twisted in some way emotionally. It is because of the twists and the intensity of these twists emotionally that tension becomes the normal in your body. And that allergies begin their development. Now, admittedly, many people have very strong adrenal glands. The adrenal glands are those particular little glands that you have sitting on top of your kidneys that make sure that your histamine levels are up. They make sure that you have enough energy to overcome the tension or overcome pain, to get those endorphins or those natural painkillers in your system kicked in, to keep those hormones flowing. So most people have tremendous protection because of their adrenal glands through their adolescence and the allergies and the wounds don't tend to show up really bad until later, until those adrenal glands begin to tire and they can't keep up their work. They can't compensate. So what we're seeing here, dear one, for you, and this is true for many, allergies that have to do with your breathing, or reactivities that have to do with breathing, like asthma, or airborne allergies, have to do with a fear, have to do with a fear of taking space, that somehow or another, you're not allowed to take more space. Good, juicy issue. You're not allowed to breathe in your life fully. You're not allowed your power. You've hit a wall. You've hit a wall where your existence is offensive to someone else. Where you have, if you're not careful, expanded your area of power too far and gotten somebody really ticked off. If you have manipulators in your life, petty tyrants and dictators in your adolescence, you learn very quickly, keep your mouth shut, keep your head down, hide. Many people went into hiding. Most people, actually. It's one of the most popular strategies. Simple, available, nothing to it, just hide. Don't let anybody know what you want. Don't let anybody know who you are. Don't let anybody see you. Be as invisible as possible and stay out of trouble. Don't breathe. Don't let in life. Don't be alive. Don't celebrate. Because you're going to get on the wrong side of everybody. You don't deserve it. They won't let you. You got to stay safe. Keep hiding. Hits the chest. The fear. What if they don't like me? What if they reject me? What if I'm lonely? What if I'm a reject, a cast off, a discard, abandoned? The fear embeds in the body, creates tremendous tension, resets and recalibrates the limbic brain, the old reptilian brain, the old automatic response instinct brain, to one of vigilance, tension, always looking over your shoulder, always worried about, well, what about the future? Never feeling secure. Because its adolescence is done with more intensity, with more intensity, it will change your physical body. It's an emotional intensity recalibrating your body. There's also anger and rage. There's that sense of powerlessness, this rage at having to suppress yourself, having to hold yourself back, having to play some game with somebody, having to play according to somebody else's rules. Maybe even if you were a good game player, you did outstanding in the game, it still weren't your rules. It still wasn't your power. You are playing with other people's power. You are still giving power outside of you. And so, dear one, you had a lot of that as well. And those allergies that come from that intensity, from the anger and the rage, generally is taking of what else you take in your life, like food, like relationships. You can be allergic to people. You can be allergic to your favorite foods, your comfort foods that you probably ate too much of at the time to compensate. And then your body said, no, I can't take it. The adrenal said, we can't keep revving up the body to handle this load anymore. It turns your food into poison. Anything that comes into you, anything that you receive, becomes tainted. Your breathing becomes tainted. Your food and your water becomes tainted in your body. And adolescents aren't generally known and renowned for having healthy diets either. They think they are eternal. They think their bodies could last forever. Those adrenals are pumping so well. Those hormones are going so well. That protection is there. They can eat all sorts of sugary desserts, ice cream with all sorts of toppings and tremendous amounts of cookies, cake, you name it, all the sugar you might want. Nothing happens because those hormones are protecting. They can eat all sorts of pizzas and junk food, all sorts of sodas, every kind of crap you can think of. Doesn't seem to affect most adolescents because their hormones are up. Well, maybe this was true in the past, but of course, recently on your culture, the eating of the sugar and the junk food starts so early that by adolescence, now, you know, well over half of the adolescents are getting overweight. It's not that baby fat anymore. And allergies are indeed showing up earlier because the body just doesn't have the resources anymore. So yes, you need to release your powerless rage, the sense of futility. You said submission, yes. You felt you had to submit. Now, in psychology, this is called passive-aggressive behavior. Most people play with this at some point. Any codependent relationship is filled with passive-aggressive behavior. Where on one hand, you're trying to be really nice and on good behavior, on good behavior, on good behavior, and then something just takes you over the line and you become really a bear. You become malicious, sneaky, mean, vindictive, hostile, punishing. Now, if you controlled yourself so that you wouldn't go into the mean, hostile part, where did all that flip-flop energy go? And dear one, what you kept yourself from being that aggressive, hostile, controlling, mean person the best you could. What happened? You took it in to you. Because that was your expression. Twisted, yes. Distorted, yes. It's part of the game. But it was an expression. It got something out. It gets a little out.
And I rebelled a lot.
Of course. You had to. It was survival for you, dear one. Because the submission required was too much to bear, was it not?
Yes.
You just couldn't take it. You couldn't do it anymore. It went up. It was not that it was against your grain, just that. Yes, it was against your grain, but it wasn't just that. It was that it was impossible for you to imprison yourself enough Right?
Right.
You had to do something. You had to get something out.